could it really be that Moshe was banned from entering Eretz Yisrael because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock? Well, that's certainly the story we get from Parshas Chukas and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's epilogue to Parshas Chukas. It seems harsh. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats tzaddikim with a harsher degree of less margin of error, in part because their relationship is so delicate. And when you have something so delicate, it can be fractured more easily. It's a sign of closeness and intimacy, not a sign of harsh cruelty towards tzaddikim. And second of all, relatedly, tzaddikim model HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. B'krova yakadesh, nora Elohim mimekadashecha, al tikri mimekadashecha, Elohim mikudashecha. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when tzaddikim err even slightly or deviate even slightly, it's a chance to reinforce Hashem's transcendence. But then Moshe davens and he asks for mercy and begs and Parshas Veschanan, there must be some other reason. And both the Medrash, and I'll associate this Medrash with a Nitziv, both look for other reasons. And other reasons for Moshe's not entering the land, being banned, as it were, that are consistent with his career of commitment to the Jewish people. And in fact, when Moshe describes in the fourth pasuk, I'm driving now, I can't really look up the pasuk, but says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry with me or didn't let me go into the land, lema'anchem, doesn't say biglalchem. Biglalchem was not like because of you, because you rebelled and because you created insurrection and mutiny and I got angry. And lema'anchem means to serve some purpose for you, for your benefit. So the Medrash says that Moshe was buried in Chutz La'aretz in order to facilitate Tchias HaBeisim. Not every Jew would be buried in Eretz Yisrael. We don't really know the anatomy, the mechanics of Tchias HaBeisim, but it does sound from our Chazal that it's easier for Tchias HaBeisim to unfold in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz La'aretz. There are some harsh statements that make it sound like it only happens in Eretz Yisrael, or it happens in Eretz Yisrael first, and then secondarily in Chutz La'aretz, or the pathway is more smooth for people that are buried in Eretz Yisrael. And this is the reason that so many people throughout history who weren't zochah to live in Eretz Yisrael still wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, in part because of Tchias HaBeisim. But either way, it's, as we would say, rough sledding to make it back during Tchias HaBeisim from Chutz La'aretz, unless you have Moshe helping you. Now, how exactly Moshe helps is anyone's guess. We don't really peer into these details. We don't become obsessed with eschatology and resurrection. It's very distracting. It's a shiny metal object. It can create a lot of imbalanced religious discipline. But one thing is clear. Moshe, quote-unquote, suffers on behalf of the Jewish people, again, to serve them, self-annihilating lemanchem for their needs. Or, to put into now a new frame, not just a personal experience, but a geographical dilemma, Moshe doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael in order to serve Am Yisrael better. Had he moved to Israel, then Tchias HaBeisim would have been impossible or strenuous. So he falls on the sword, so to speak, and lives in Chutz La'aretz so that Jews in Chutz La'aretz can be more successful. And there you have it. There you have a paradigm which I think resonates for so many people. It's so easy but patronizing to say you don't live in Israel, your life's empty, we're back in Israel, why are you spurning it? Life's so complex and there's so many layers and every life has so many conditions and qualifications, marriage, family, parnasa, psychology, culture. And there's so many people who are not yet prepared to move. And then there are people who really would want to move, but they feel that they remain behind for the better service of the Jewish people. I have more experience in the world of chinuch, and that people ask me this question all the time. I went through that decision close to, well, I've been out 30 years ago, and it's a very personal decision, and some people decide to remain in Chutz La'aretz as mechanchim, as rabbanim, as social agents, as people who are serving Am Yisrael, long-term shlichut, even at the cost of living in this land, living in our homeland. And I don't feel morally superior to them having moved to Israel. I feel like it's a very personal decision. And sometimes I'm actually in awe of people who have made the, so to speak, as I would call it now, the Moshe sacrifice. The Nitziv has a slightly different spin on it. It's an interesting spin, which I have to elaborate at some other point, in which Moshe is constantly referring to them standing next to Beis Peor on the mountain opposing Beis Peor, in the Gai Mul Beis Peor, Levetach Beis Peor. And I don't have the Nesiv in front of me, but the gist of what the Nesiv says is that Peor had a specific draw and a specific temptation on the Jewish people to allow their only failure post 40 years. And Rav Amital spoke about this extensively, what Peor's seductive whisper is, that anything natural is holy, even defecation, just by the fact that it's natural, so anything that we feel naturally is holy, even if it's prohibited by Hashem. The inability to impose a divine will and divine discipline upon human instinct and human hormones, just because we feel that it's natural. And Moshe, as the lawgiver, as someone who delivered Torah mitzvahs and the moral will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was the antidote, was the neutralizer of Peor. That's why it's important that Moshe be buried Mul Beis Peor. Now, for the Nesiv, this isn't just iconic that he's buried Mul Beis Peor in order to metaphysically oppose the influence of Peor, but he created a wedge against Peor, and people would go to his grave, and especially people who were distant from Eretz Yisrael. The Bnei Gad, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Nesiv sounds like he was buried in Gad's portion. I don't have the Nesiv in front of me. You can take a look at the Nesiv. But this radiated back to Eretz Yisrael, and it was something that kept the Jewish people away from Peor, even in Israel, but certainly in Chutz Laaretz, where they still were in contact with Peor culture. And therefore, Moshe has to be buried in Chutz Laaretz, where there's more exposure to Peor culture, in order to prevent Peor creep. The culture creep of Peor, the encroachment of Peor ideology. So again, Moshe is buried in Chutz Laaretz painfully, so that he can serve Am Yisrael, in this case, not in the days of resurrection, but on a constant basis, and help them avoid the seductive temptations of Peor. Either way, whether it's theological or whether it's eschatological, whether it's to avoid Avodah Zarah or to prepare for Achlus Hayam, it provides a very thought-provoking model. The willingness, the value, the heroism of living in Chutz Laaretz at the cost of your own personal desire. Look, for some people, I imagine, not really judging people and knowing what's in their heart, for some people becomes an excuse. And well, I'm in Chutz Laaretz because of this and because of that. Really, they're in Chutz Laaretz because they're not yet prepared to move, which, I said before, is itself a justifiable position, because moving to Israel is a very hard move. But for some people who are deeply, deeply craving to be a part of this country, and they make a decision to spend their lives, and it's a decision I'm awed by when I think about the moral heroism and moral courage that's involved.